Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, you know, that one sounded weird.
Yeah, the voice a little bit there.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm still getting over the cold. It's still lingering. I thought it was gone when I was in Florida.
What, you come back from Florida and like insta-cold?
Yeah, that actually would track. Actually.
Yeah, pretty much.
That tracks.
I lost it for a little bit. I mean, it's the air down there. I lose the cough a little bit. I get back that night and like immediately it was back and I'm like...
Yep.
Yeah, all right. I expect that. I knew it was coming.
That makes sense.
It's that season. It's that time of the year.
That's Zach Jones. I'm Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I had residual thoughts from yesterday. The presser, also the dismissal of Adams entirely. I've been holding on to that because that's kind of how we do it around here. And it's time to let some of this out. Zach, when it comes to everything from the presser yesterday, though, I was overall very impressed. Kekalainen was on with Jeremy and Joe just about an hour ago, and I think I liked a lot of what he said there as well. Again, the highlight being non-committal to the coaching staff, and it does seem like that is something where, yeah, nobody's safe right now, and that should be the case when a new general manager arrives.
I mean, yeah, you're doing this for a reason. Adams is the main character of it all, but Lindy has not been perfect in his second tenure as head coach for the Sabres. They are second to last in the East. I think that's why most of us were somewhat expecting an announcement even yesterday, although being the one chair, not too surprising. But I think that's why I was expecting another announcement. We'll see if anything comes to kind of what we also heard Kekalainen say yesterday, which is everything is under evaluation. We did see one move yesterday. Isak Rosén goes back down to Rochester. Don't know what that means. I thought somebody was going to be coming off of IR, whether that be Jason Zucker, Yuri Kulik, you know, with his situation, with the blood clots, no idea. But haven't seen anything substantial from that end yet. Yeah, I think for me, now having slept on it, you know, about 24 hours since, he does sound like someone that has the experience. That's the bare minimum. I've kind of hit with wanting, you know, guys in these head positions, whether it be head coach or general manager, just have any semblance of experience before they're hired by the Sabres. But, you know, to put it, you know, just in the simplest terms, he sounded like an adult. He sounded like he had been there, done that, knows what to say. I will tell you, I don't love not embracing the drought. I know Jeremy and Joe were talking about that. I would rather kind of have a general manager or head coach or even players acknowledge that, no, it's not our fault, but it is our responsibility to end that.
And I think Paul Hamilton did a good job of bringing the insight on that of like why the fans turn on this team very quickly.
Right. And I think there is almost, and this maybe isn't true, but it's kind of how I'm perceiving it. It is almost a defense mechanism of like to not take it all and just be like, well, no, we're going year by year. Nope. A lot of you have been here for multiple years of this drought. Even if they got in that shortened season, 2020, we'd be on a 5-6 year playoff drought, which still in the NHL is a very long time.
Which would be most of Adams' tenure.
And so, like, that's my thing is, like, no,
good
sure.
God.
All 14 years is not everybody. It realistically, physically couldn't be.
Oh my God,
but even if they got into the shortened season, they would still be on another playoff drought.
That would be Adams' entire tenure.
And it'd be his entire tenure.
Oh my God.
And so, no, I don't blame everybody for it, but I also don't love the deflecting of, you know, it's not all these guys. We just got to focus on this year. And then also to that extent as well, this is fine. Every GM's going to say this is not a Kekalainen thing.
but like kind of dismissing the whole just get into the playoffs because you want to say you want to go win a cup. I get that. They're not a cup-winning team. They're not even really close. They are in a position of you just got to get in. You got to get some of that toxicity out of the organization, I think, before you can move forward.
I do think there's something to not wanting to face that outside pressure and do what you need to do and set out to do. I think there's merit to that on the other side of this argument. And I'm not putting this up just for the sake of it. I did like that he said, no, we have a plan. We're going to attack it. I'm not going to sacrifice everything just to make the playoffs 1 year. And I think there's a lot of merit to that. Because I liken it to the Columbus Blue Jackets thought that they were a team that could make some noise in the postseason. And they went all in, not trading their UFAs, trading for a couple of rentals. And then what they were doing, though, was they started getting hot. They were a team that thought that they were better than where they were in the standings, made the aggressive moves. They bring in Duchesne. They bring in Ryan Dzingel. They keep Bobrovsky and Panarin knowing that those two are going to walk away from them for nothing. That was, we're better than what we are. We're going to do something about it. And if it fails, it fails. And like we're probably out of the job. But that's Kekalainen. That's the kind of guy he is. He saw the plan and he attacked it. So that wasn't, we're going to make the playoffs just to make the playoffs. No, that was, we should be able to make some noise. And They do.
Yeah.
They sweep the President's Trophy Lightning. Are you kidding? And then they even get a couple against Boston and ultimately fall. Boston, who that year, by the way, makes the Stanley Cup final. That's a guy who knows that contextually it's different. If he thinks this team can make some noise in the Eastern Conference, he's going to do something about it accordingly because he has a track record. That's something that we haven't been able to say about a general manager in a long time. Matter of fact,
well, since the 70s.
I was going to say, combine our ages, Zach.
Yeah.
We can get pretty close to the number. We'd shoot it over because, you know, I'm older than you. But
I think it's 79 with Scotty Bowman.
Yeah. But my point remains that I do like that he's putting it into the isolation of I have a plan. I'm looking at everything right now and how to execute the plan. Nobody's safe. But I'm not going to worry about the exterior pressure of it to make sure that this plan gets going. And if it means one more year, first of all, they're still in second to last place in the Eastern Conference. What's the harm really being done here? They fired the general manager. That typically means you've had a bad year. Or that you're likely to not make the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, that pressure's probably off right now, at least for this year. What's another year to it? I thought that this was going to be the case when Adams was retained. As for the coach, it's fascinating to me that Lindy Ruff, there's been discussion about it. Kekalainen hasn't been committal to Ruff. Ruff's contract expires at the end of the year. And everyone saw that signing as he's long in the tooth. Is he really going to do more than 2 years here anyway? And the Sabres kind of put together a plan almost like Seth Appert's this coach in waiting sort of thing by bringing him up from Rochester, making him the primary assistant to Lindy Ruff. It seems like the Sabres are acutely aware that Lindy Ruff was not going to be long for this. And that's why Kekalainen might not be committal to him because of the fact that, well, Lindy probably doesn't have much time to do this. And if that's the case, I might want to get started now.
Yeah.
But a move has not been made yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it does seem like there's already something, like reading the tea leaves, you can kind of see some of these things. Even on the complete outside. Sometimes you're wrong, but the speculation can always be there.
803-0550, the number to call. You want to jump on, give your thoughts on what we heard from yesterday and today from new Sabres general manager Jarmo Kekäläinen. We'll also get to the Bills as well. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Sal Capaccio will join the show. The Bills are back at practice today. They do sign a kicker yesterday, officially. Michael Badgley, of course, with Matt Prater going down with a quad injury. They literally had to do that. Real quick, though, last thing for me on the Sabres situation and all that. I'm excited. I'm happy they made the move. I will say, though, there is other things that have to be done. It's not the most worrying situation that they could be in. Like, for me, the thing I was most scared about was that Adams wouldn't actually leave the organization. He would just be moved into a different role, and that ultimately everything would stay the same. Like, realistically, you could look at from the outside and go, yeah, nothing's changed. And while that's not totally true here, we have mentioned it. They still have assistants on this roster that are from the Ralph Kruger days, or at least the Don Granato days. Lindy has realistically not even been able to hire much of his own staff. Lindy even is, I think, part of the problem where you're seeing a lot of the warts in his coaching style. And so, yeah, like there are still things that need to change. It's the early days. It's his first week. We haven't even actually played a game with Jarmo Kekäläinen as the general manager of the
Sabres. They don't play until tomorrow.
You know, they don't play again until tomorrow. And they are on a three-game win streak. Like, they're not totally dead or out of it. And so I'm excited going forward, but it is a middle-of-the-season GM hiring. Like, there's only so much I can really expect. That's why I've also mentioned I'm frustrated that Adams was even given half a year. I equated a lot to NFL teams with head coaches, where you draft the quarterback in the first round, and yet you will fire what we all knew was dead man walking coach midway through the year, thus probably botching the development of your rookie quarterback and setting your franchise back 5 years. I think in part because you just kind of didn't want to make the hard decision, or you allowed probably a charlatan to convince you to keep them another 6 months, which is not even a really good, you know, sale case if they came and make it another year. And it's not to say Adams is a charlatan or anything like that. I'm putting that in grandiose terms of
around sports.
Yeah, why are you still here when I'm going to fire you in 6 months? Why even go through that process? Is it all just, I don't want to pay you that extra 6 months of money to not work here? Maybe. Fine. If that's your reasoning, that's your reasoning. I don't love it. You're an owner. You're probably a billionaire. But it is what it is. But now Kekäläinen's got a lot to figure out, whether it be the Tuck situation, the three-goalie situation, or the fact that they are second to last in the East. I'm curious, and I'm, you know, in some ways excited to see how it goes. They play again tomorrow, 7:30, at home against Philadelphia. Hell, half of the thing I'm most excited about is just to see what that crowd is like tomorrow night. Because this crowd, at times this year, has been very good. It's also been a very hostile crowd. Paul has talked about that not that long ago.
You and I were there.
Sell the team and fire Adams talks were loud and clear, but there's also been moments where that place is jumping for joy on a Tuesday night.
Right. You and I were there, though, that Black Friday game against the New Jersey Devils, where the Fire Adams chants are as loud as they had ever been, so much so that the broadcast picks it up pretty cleanly.
Oh, yeah.
And you, me, Joe, and Owen, we were all sitting in the press box that day, and we all noticed it, noticing how loud it was. The Fire Adams chants. Lo and behold, a couple games later, they start their road trip, and it starts abysmally. If the plan was really in place based on the results of the road trip, well, guess what? The first three games, it looked like it was not going to stop. And it was going to look like another one of those, oh, Kevin Adams at the tenure for another lengthy losing streak. The team does figure it out quite dramatically with Edmonton having a 3-0 lead and then almost collapsing that within an entire period. And then they score in overtime just to make sure they don't lose the game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
But now, yeah, it's good though that It's good in a way that resolve stayed true. You thought you were going to do this. Three games of winning in a row did not change your mind. It's done and it's over with. I am happy that the resolve stayed. I also don't think you would have been able to sell to fans, oh, we won our third game in a row. Everything's clearly on the up and up with Adams. I don't think anyone's buying it at that point. That's where it really gets to me is you've had the better part closer to 6 years. Sometimes it's just not going to happen, and that's how it is. Honestly, I think 5 years is an acceptable amount of term for an NHL general manager. You start to see their products begin to work or not work. We've seen some of Jason Botterill's picks make late contributions after his dismissal, right? Mattias Samuelsson has become a little bit of this like extreme case of high variance, mm-hmm. where he's either fantastic or, example like last year, people can't wait to get him off the team. But that is a Botterill draft pick. Tage Thompson emerging into his own, that is a Botterill acquisition from the Ryan O'Reilly trade. Or, you know, like, that's the sort of thing. Ryan Johnson, if he ends up being an NHLer, that's a Botterill pick. You see general managers have late contributions after their dismissal, and that's why Tim Murray always upset me. There wasn't many of those. The man got dismissed, and none of his draft picks except for, I'm thinking, what, Victor Olsson?
Yeah.
And then Will Borgen, who gets taken with an expansion pick.
Yeah.
Those are Murray's draft picks that make the roster after he's fired. Cool. Botterill, a couple of them show up. And a couple of them to frustrating degrees. Like, Luukkonen is a Botterill draft pick, and I think people are done. Cousins is jettisoned out. Mittelstadt was already traded. Like, but those are players that started playing more and more under Kevin Adams. I will be curious to which Adams draft picks that are not in the NHL right now do show up post-dismissal. And that's one of the things that he's been lauded for, actually, is the draft acumen of the scouting department.
Building up the prospect pool, and is it, you know, actually the number one overall one? I mean, ultimately he got rid of one of the guys, and it has worked out well. Savoy for McLeod. Austin looks very good. Isak Rosén seems to be a bit of a tweener, but, you know, we'll see as well. Devin Levi, I mean, if he comes up and is, in fact, their goalie of the future, like you mentioned, I mean, that's an Adams acquisition. We'll see. It's just, I mean, Kekalainen even mentioned this. You know, in years past, it was like 5 to 8 years before you really got to see some of these draft picks
and
come in.
That's
it's
why
sort
Tim
of the
Murray,
same with these GMs of their acquisitions. It takes a little while.
That's why Tim Murray's tenure always upset me, because we didn't get much of the ripple effect afterward, because he was such a poor drafter.
Yeah, he really was. We'll see more on the Sabres tomorrow night when they host Philadelphia. Bills, though, also in action this weekend. They're taking on the lowly Cleveland Browns. A bit of a lost season for them this Sunday at 1 in Cleveland. Always a stadium I kind of wanted to visit, mainly because it was close, but also I feel that kindred, you know, brothership with the Lake
vibe
Erie.
Probably feels similar.
Yeah, but it's like the Lake Erie teams. Like, you know, you always kind of want to see those teams. And then, you know, this week, Derek, we got a few storylines. I mean, I call them the lowly Cleveland Browns. They are. They're a dreadful football team. Kind of only due to their offense. The defense is incredible. Myles Garrett is a sack away from tying Michael Strahan's all-time single-season sack record at 22.5. He's at 21.5. He has had a sack, or registered at least a sack, in every game since October 8th. So he's on an incredible pace. I mean, he's still got three games left. Like, he's almost definitely going to get the record unless something drastic happens. And then, of course, and no matter how you feel about it, it is still a storyline to keep an eye on. Shedeur Sanders is starting, and, you know, Derek, it's weird with Sanders. I haven't actually been able to sit down and watch a lot of him playing in Cleveland, really outside of the preseason. Many times it's because the Bills are playing at the same time and we're focusing on that. But a lot of times games start on TV. Like, there's just no way. But I'll see like a throw or two of his every game where I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, that's why he should have been drafted. Again, like, quarterback's a weird position. Once you get out of the second round, there kind of becomes not a point to really draft one until like the sixth or seventh. And I mean that honestly. Like if those guys are not going to start, you're sort of wasting an asset on a player and a position that could start even in the fourth or fifth round their rookie year. And then you add in everything, you know, off the field with him and his dad, the distractions of your backup quarterback. I've gone through that, you know, endlessly. But then I look at his stat lines and I'm like, oh, like there's no way that was good. The throws look great. The stat line is terrible.
But so then I'm one of the interceptions, for example, it bounces off of Jerry Jeudy.
Right. But like I'm kind of into watching them. Like the Bills are a 10-point favorite. The only other line that is bigger this week is Houston hosting the Raiders. They're at 14.5. The Raiders had 75 yards last week against Philadelphia. I have no idea what they can even muster against that Houston defense. But, like, I want to watch Shador. Like, I'm really into it. I think the Bills will win this one somewhat comfortably. That defense is still a bit of a struggle, and the Bills have had moments this year where they have dipped down to their competition's level. But, like, that's one of the things I really want to watch is, like, okay, like, how good, quote-unquote, is Shador? How bad is he? Do they really need to look for a quarterback? Harold Fanning as well. They've got a rookie tight end out of Bowling Green that's really good. Judkins, the running back of Ohio State. Carson Schwechinger on defense. Like, I don't know. Cleveland's such a weird team for me. I like a bunch of their young players.
It's an impressive rookie class, and they spent two picks on a quarterback class that's not good.
Right. And so, like, I'm at this, like, weird impasse with them where I'm like, I love what you're building, but like we mentioned, you know, the coach that gets half a year and is fired when they get a rookie quarterback. What are they going to do with Kevin Stefanski? Are they going to go into this draft class, draft a quarterback, and then fire him afterwards?
Not just Stefanski. Andrew Berry, the architect of the Deshaun Watson trade and contract extension that is holding this team back. So that's going to be something that we can look at a little bit more in extension. Well, Sal Capaccio coming on next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. But also, don't forget, let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. You might fumble it because the contest ends January 4th of 2026. That's less than a month away, everyone. TRS, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence. Powering tomorrow, comforting today. Sal Capaccio on the other side here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.